Welcome to Steve Dale's Other World. You may not know the name of the author of the book Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. His name is Tim Grover, but I have a hunch you know one of the folks he trained. One of them, Michael Jordan. And the list is very, very long. Tim, welcome to WGN.
Steve, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And I met you at... And your wife, I think, at a dog event somewhere originally. No, it was on a boat.
It was on the boat.
It was on a boat.
It was on the boat.
Who would think? Yeah. Yes. It was on a cruise for dogs that the Mercury Skyline Cruise Line does every Saturday and Sunday morning. And this was a Saturday or Sunday morning. And there we were with all our dogs. And someone said, oh, you've got to meet Tim Grover. And I knew the name. And I don't get offended, I hope.
I'm not.
I knew the name. I didn't quite know where from. It's one of those names. Is he a supporting actor in a maybe Chicago Fire? I knew the name. Was he a basketball player that kind of never made it except for maybe a half a year and spent most time on the bench? I knew the name. I didn't know. So you indeed are most known probably, for training athletes.
That is correct. You know what? The reason they wanted you to meet me during the break, it had nothing to do with me. They just wanted you to see my dog. That was it.
I believe that was it. It's a very well-treated and in very physical good condition dog. You know, this book, I think, is about, you say at the beginning of the book, and you have so many wonderful lines in this book, something, I'm paraphrasing now because it's going to be tough to find it, but something like, if you want those phrases that you get in other motivational workout books, read another book.
Correct. You know what? What we do is I always kind of take motivation and I equivocate to it like it's a sugar high. You know, so people come in, they give you these motivational talks and tell you to give everybody a high five and give everybody a hug and so forth. And they get you all pumped up, and then an hour, 2 hours after the seminar is over, everyone's looking around, say, okay, well, what do I do next? You know, no one knows what to do. So it's kind of like when you get your little sugar high from, or your caffeine high, and then when you come down from it, you're kind of down. So I don't consider the phrases we have in the book or myself a motivational guy. Most people are already motivated. Okay, it's what follows after the motivation is what they have a difficult time with, and that's the execution and putting that motivation into action. And you can read all the phrases you want. You can do whatever you see. You can put them up on a billboard. You can tattoo them, all that. But unless there's some action behind it, it means absolutely nothing. So that's what I'm saying. So this book is more about self-starting, you know, everything you have. You know, people always say greatness is already inside you, which is true. Greatness is in every individual, but for most individuals, it stays inside of them.
Okay? Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're a motivational speaker, too.
So they never get
Is that correct?
I don't consider myself.
Clearly,
I don't consider myself.
I don't consider myself.
I'm more of a known as more of the reality check person. People say, hey, we kind of give it to them exactly how it is and what the world is going to be like and what you need to do to be successful in your craft and not to expect too much from other people and how, you know, you still have to do majority of the work. And, you know, one of the things we talk about in the book and just in general is, you know, when did hard work become a skill? You know, for nowadays, it's like you have to seek people that want to work hard, and you'll see it on the resume and you see it all the time. You know, they'll lead when they're sitting in for an interview, and I'm sure you have quite a few people that come in and that want to be in this line of work and they want to work in, you know, this beautiful atmosphere. And they come in and they say, Steve, I'm a hard worker. Well, aren't you supposed to be a hard worker? Isn't that kind of when you come looking for a job, you know, what do you lead off with?
So do you think...
I'm not really a hard worker.
Do you think the millennials, I mean, the accusation is they're not hard workers. Do you think that's true?
I won't say they're not hard workers. I just think they're more distracted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with this, with what's going on here, information is so readily available to, it's so easy now. You literally carry it around with you everywhere you go. Everything's accessible right here at your fingertips off of this little box that everyone kind of carries around. But it also can create a lot of distractions among individuals, too. You could be focused on one thing, and all of a sudden you start drifting off into somewhere else. And with this generation, there's a lot of entitlement where it's like, well, if I learn how to do this craft, or if I learn how to do this, I don't want to start at the bottom. I want to start at this job here. And that's a process that I think has been forgotten. I mean, if you look at yourself, I guarantee it that you're sitting behind the mic here, but before you sat behind the mic, you know how to work pretty much everything in this room. All right, just like when I was in the fitness industry, I know how to clean the equipment, I know how to put it together, I know how to move it, I know how to take care of it, I know how to use it. So you learn all these different facets that makes you more valuable to your employee or whatever's next. Now people are kind of gauged in on one thing, and they'll give you the attitude. And I hear this, I don't do that anymore. Well, what do you mean you don't do that anymore? When you become successful and you become to the top, you need to continue to be able to do all the things that got you to that. And the generation needs to be able to see that you're still willing to do all that stuff.
I want to talk more about this in a moment. It's fascinating. The name of the book is Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. How do you get to be unstoppable? Well, we'll find out, because by the end of this conversation, if you listen to Tim Grover, the author, you too will become unstoppable. Does it drive you crazy walking down Michigan Avenue? Here's why I ask. And you look around you, and it can be any street. It could be Broadway in New York City. Mm-hmm. It could be any street anywhere in America. And you look around you, and statistically, half the population is overweight or obese. And I think it's about a quarter of the people now that are outside those offices as you walk down these streets that are smoking their cigarette. And they're even more likely to have a variety of health issues. Mm-hmm. Does that bother you when you think, well, that's avoidable?
It is avoidable. It really does bother me because, you know, a lot of the conditions that individuals have, and not all of them, but majority of them can be taken care of or alleviated, or the percentages decrease by just taking better care of yourself. You know, there are people that have conditions that need medical treatment and so forth, and I do understand that. But I think what happens is people make things too complicated. All right, you know, you read all we talk about this also in the book Relentless. You know, people read all these diet books, and majority of the diet books work. But again, you're not going to lose any weight by just reading a diet book. You got to put the plan into action.
And it becomes
difficult. It's not easy. But why do most people fail on a diet? It has nothing to do with the way they feel physically or a lifestyle change. Is they get weak mentally.
Let me broaden the question a little bit. You also write same thing about working out. Mm-hmm. I mean, many people, you know, it's the number two resolution for New Year's. Number one is diet. Mm-hmm. So you take the number one and number two resolution. People want to do it, or at least they say they do, after a few drinks in the bar.
Right.
Or when they see their mom, and mom says, after not having seen you all year, boy, it looks like he gained 30 pounds. In fact, he gained 40 pounds. You know, so you talk about going on a diet. You talk about doing these things, and working out may be part of it. But what leads to inaction, and how do you get beyond that?
Well, you know what it does? What Lee is, you know, eating badly and not working out, I consider it an addiction. And you have to trade one addiction for another. So if you're not working out, you have to trade that addiction for working out. If you're eating poorly, you have to trade it for eating more healthy. But what happens is people try to do too much. So let's talk about the New Year's resolution, people, that which is coming up right around the corner after everybody goes crazy during Thanksgiving and Christmas. So what happens is, the last time they were in the gym was January 2017, so now they're getting ready to be back in the gym in 2018. So all of a sudden they say, you know what, I'm going to sleep better. I'm not. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to cut out caffeine. I'm going to cut out sugar. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It's too much. It's too much. You have to master and conquer one thing. So let's say, all right, if you've never worked out, if you haven't worked out and it's been a year, you're not going to go to the gym and say, I'm going to work out 5 days a week. If your schedule's, you have to be honest with yourself, look at the schedule and say, hey, listen, I can realistically get into the gym or work out 2 times a week.
But does that do any good?
It does do any good. See, it's not the amount of time you spend in the gym. It's what you do in that period of time. And when I talked about earlier about distractions, if you go to a gym now, you see people more now, they're more busy on their phones trying to find the right song for this exercise. And they come out and say, oh, I was in the gym for 3 hours working out. You know, you have might have been in the gym for 3 hours, but you weren't working out. And then again, with a diet thing, they try to make too drastic of a change. It has to be small. You have to master one thing at a time, then move on to the next, then move on to the next. And you have to take action. And again, it's like trading one addiction for another. But when you trade one addiction for another, once you master that, then you have to trade another one. Then you have to trade another one. So it's these little small steps that you can master and continue to do and continue to follow. And it has to become a part of who you are. And it's not easy. Change is not easy.
How important is being physically fit? Not at Michael Jordan's level when he was playing, just being physically fit. How important is that to general health?
Oh, it's extremely important to general health.
Let me broaden that again, actually, because I asked that wrong. Is it more than just important to general health? And I want you to talk about that, but also mental health.
The better you feel about yourself, you know, and the more physically fit you are, all right, the more clarity you're going to have in your mind. And the more clarity that you have in your mind, the better you're going to be able to do whatever activities you want to do, to be able to do at work, at family, being with your spouse, raising your kids, whatever it is. If your mind is not clear and you constantly need sugar, flour, you know, these energy drinks or so forth, and you need all the stimulants from outside, and you get addicted to those things, not only physically, but also mentally, and you're definitely not as clear. And if you don't believe me, just try it. Yeah, if you eat what people recommend, you know, more vegetables, more leaner proteins, stay away from the bad fats, make sure you eat the good fats, you start to feel better. You get that more energy. You start to sleep better. Things start to happen, but you got to give it time. You know, you look at a person that's overweight and they tell you, well, you know, diet and exercising, it's difficult. Well, carrying around all that extra weight, that's also difficult. Also difficult on your health. So I'd rather put my difficulty in a place of working out and finding out what's going to work for me than just feeling difficult and not feeling good about myself.
So if you don't motivate the way many other books tell you to motivate, if you don't do it that way, how do you motivate people to get into good shape?
Well, you know what it is? It's something they got to find for themselves. I mean, if you constantly need outside stimulus or an outside person that's constantly pushing you, you're going to end up failing. The one thing we tell in Relentless, and we talk about the 13 traits, is instead of having somebody else light your fire, you got to know how to light it yourself. You got to be a self-starter. You know, everybody needs assistance and everybody needs help from time to time, but it's got to be on you. You know, your success is on you. Your failures are on you. A majority of your health is on you. Your results are going to be on you. You can't rely on other people, and you have to find out what works for you. You know, people, you know, you talk about one of the greatest ways to lose weight is to get in better condition is to run. But if you don't run and you don't enjoy it and it's a chore, don't do it. There's so many other activities that you can find. But when you're doing those activities, you have to be engaged in those activities. You can't, you know, you can't get on an exercise bike or whatever it is, ride for 10 minutes, get off, take a phone call or be chatting or so forth. That's your time. I tell people when they're exercising, just like you make a schedule, you have meetings, you know, you have appointments and so forth. When you write in your book, work out from 2 to 3 or whatever it is, that's an appointment. You cannot change it. You don't cancel it. You don't say, oh, you know, this person didn't make it here, this person, and I'm going to schedule it there. You have to have your own time to yourself.
Is that the secret? Because I find when I travel, it's like impossible for me, you know, because I don't have time in the morning. I'm often speaking or doing whatever I do early in the morning. And to tell you the truth, I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock to run, right, you know, or to. So, and I may have been out fairly late the night before. So then when do I do it? At night, I'm being wined and dined. I don't want to. So it's hard to do when you're on the road.
It's very difficult, but you'll find time. So, if you're on the road for. How long are you going to be on the road for? Okay, so you're going to be on the road. So let's say you're on the road for 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you get back home, you get back on your schedule.
So it's okay to do that.
You're going to get thrown off your schedule. Everybody, it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. And you just got to plan. And a little ways of kind of sneaking little workouts in is if you're traveling, don't take the moving sidewalk.
Yeah,
walk in the airport instead of taking the escalator up the stairs. Walk up the stairs.
Can we do more exercise? That's a great point. Can we do more exercise than we think? And now people are paying attention because we've got ways to read steps. And my wife and I all the time. I did 15,000 steps. Well, I did 17,000 steps. You know, I mean, we're paying attention to that. Mm-hmm. More and more people are. And are there ways that? Even not using the remote and getting up to change the channel, although I don't think you can do that anymore without a remote.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, yeah. You can, but you're going to have switches have to be wherever they are on the TV.
I don't even know how. but those sorts of things that you talk about, take the stairs rather than an elevator. Maybe not 98 floors up, but 8 floors up maybe.
It makes a difference. And then you know what? Here's a great way to do also. When you go grocery shopping, what do people always do? They drive around for 10 minutes or if you're going to Costco or wherever you're going to try to find the closest parking spot. Park a little bit farther and walk. Those, if you can constantly do those little things, they add up. It's just like you said, the number of steps. Those things add up. But again, everything's about convenience now. Everything is about, you know, we got to have it now. We got to have it now. So no one kind of thinks that way. You know, there's ways of just little ways of doing things and into tricking yourself into, you know, into making yourself more fit. And then what you eat has a lot to do with it also. It has a lot. You know, you get people that work out on a regular basis and they are seeing results internally, but they're not seeing any changes outside visibly. And that has a lot to do with your nutrition. So I said exercising takes care of the inside. Okay. Aesthetically, that's more of a nutrition thing.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. All right. So, because I thought it automatically you'd lose I would drop 80 pounds just by running around the block. It doesn't quite work that way. So, name 3 or 4 athletes that we would recognize that you worked with, and you'll see why I'm asking.
Oh, well, obviously Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade. So those are my three big three.
I don't think you can get bigger than that. All right. So these amazing, extraordinary athletes, mm-hmm. Are they also, and I don't want deep, dark secrets about them, are they also extraordinary people?
They're extraordinary people in what they do, but they're also normal people. They're extremely focused and extremely intense in their work and in their whatever they do, whatever their profession is. They learn to block distractions out. They work. They have that mental edge that nobody else had. They have a competitive fire that doesn't need to be lit by anybody else. They're constantly challenging themselves. They're pushing themselves all the time. They're never satisfied. But they're also human beings. You know, they like to go out and relax, and they don't have perfect diets, and they don't have perfect sleeping habits. You know, they like. they travel too and do different things. You know, Michael was well known for smoking his cigars.
Yeah.
You know, so you may, it's everybody has their certain pleasures in life, and you just have to figure out how to adjust to those things.
So they worked hard. They had this fire that was within them. A lot of us don't have their skill. So we may have a fire, but we may not have the skill. You could do a lot just by motivating yourself and by hard work. And hard work is something that I assume they all also had in common. A work ethic that I'm sure was beyond belief, I imagine, right?
That is correct.
Because you wrote about it in the book, so yes. I know it. You know, you wrote about how Michael Jordan would spend a day and he'd commit. He'd work out, but then maybe he'd play some golf and he'd work out. But he wasn't taking phone calls between all that.
No.
And he was committed to get better.
Right. There's many athletes I've worked with and other people who are more physically gifted than the ones I've named. But when you have the individuals that are physically gifted, never satisfied, work hard, continue to improve. And here's the thing that the greatest do. They don't know it all. They're always seeking to learn and get that competitive edge. Now, when we talk about Relentless, this is not a basketball training book. It's a book to get you to think the same way these things.
So doing what you just said, do you think you could become the best accountant in the world, the best plumber in the world, the best anything in the world?
Exactly. And that's what, and you know, in the book, we talk about coolers, closers, and cleaners, and your cleaners are the individuals that are the best in the world. Those are your school teachers. Those are your bus drivers. You know, whatever it may be, it could be an accountant. It could be the doctor. It's whatever you choose to be. You have this obsession just to never being satisfied. No matter how well you do the job, you don't look at how well you did it. You always thinking about how could I have done it even better.
Are you like that?
I am like that.
How did you get to be a trainer for all these amazing, I mean, there are lots of trainers out there. Mm-hmm. Any health club now has trainers.
Sure.
Do you advise, by the way, people go to a trainer, or can we do it ourselves?
It depends on what your goals are. If you've never been in a gym, if you've never been a workout person, and you're not and you may have some health issues, you know, orthopedic issues or whatever it may be, I highly recommend hiring a trainer. All right, if you're a self-starter and you know and you have worked out before, and this is something that you know you can push yourself, then you can do it on your own. Eventually, you're going to have to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to do it on your own. So it depends again who that person is. Now, the way I always did business is I got the persons when I worked in a health club before I started working with the professional athletes. I would educate my individuals so they could do this on their own, and they could always use me as a reference when they needed. I want to create individuals that know how to take what I've learned and instill in them so they can do it on their own. When I work with my athletes, I'm not with them 24/7. I'm with them a lot, but they still have to be able to understand what's expected of them. I need to educate them. And, you know, I'm fortunate enough, this is where I studied in college. I have a master's degree in exercise science, and I always wanted to work with professional athletes, but I started at the health club level, learned my craft with different individuals, and I was fortunate enough to make some work with some clients and work with some high orthopedic doctors and athletic trainers from professional teams that allowed me to get the inroads with the professional athletes. And one of them reached out to me about Michael, and he was having some issues, and that's how that relationship got in. But
so how does that, that's what I was asking before, so thank you for circling mm-hmm. back. How does one, you know, they didn't just choose a trainer here and there and say, oh, you'd be good for Michael Jordan. Mm. I mean, it's Michael Jordan.
Right.
And when they called you and said, Michael Jordan, did you say, are you sure you have the right number?
Well, I did not know the person I was interviewing for. They did not tell me. They just said it's a high-profile individual. I didn't know if it was business, sports, or whatever it was. But there was the whole educational process. It's, you know, they wanted to make sure I knew my craft inside and out, and that's what I did. You know, so, you know, what they say is when, you know, what luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And that's, I had the preparation, the opportunity was there, and I was able to capitalize on it. If I didn't know my stuff, I didn't know what was going on, how to handle the body, how to deal with athletes, deal with injuries, and be able to show improvement, and not only from a physical standpoint, mental standpoint, injury prevention standpoint, somebody else would be sitting in this chair instead of me.
Okay, so give me one sentence or two on what Michael Jordan was like. I mean, I can't have you here and not ask that.
Intense, extremely competitive, and just had this desire and will to constantly be better and never let anybody or anything stop him.
Kobe Bryant?
Same way. Same focus. You know, you have these, they just never, Kobe always wanted, when he was playing basketball, Michael had 6 championships. Kobe desperately wanted 7. He ended up with 5. And, you know, people always give, well, they said, you know, Kobe, well, you emulated your whole game after Michael. Well, if you're going to emulate somebody, you emulate the best. You don't pick an average player and say, "Hey, I'm going to copy his game." You try to emulate the best. You learn from him and try to take it to the next level.
Should everyone begin? Most of America's inactive, although that's changing. So what's happened, I believe, is you have a percent of people. So we were kind of picking on millennials before, but most of the people I'm about to talk about are millennials that religiously go to health clubs, and they religiously work out. How well they do, it's another story, but they're there at least. Mm-hmm. Where you have another percent of the population that health clubs weren't around then, so they don't, perhaps that's why, I don't really know, but they're not thinking about joining a health club. They're older, but they're not in great shape necessarily. There's a percent of people from any generation in America that's overweight and obese. So can all of this change, and are we changing? Are we moving in the right direction?
We're definitely not moving in the right direction.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, and it's crazy.
Is it getting worse?
It is getting, you know, there's more workout places now to go. There's more gyms available, more studios to do this, but the obesity rate continues to climb. It's because, you know, the obesity rate continues to climb is because of what we're doing outside your health clubs, outside your work, outside your little studios or whatever, your workouts. So just think about it. So let's say you go to the gym and you work out for 90 minutes,
mm-hmm.
okay, or 2 hours. So you have another 22 or 22 and a half hours outside that you could literally destroy what you did 2 hours in that gym in 30 minutes. I give you a perfect example. So people,
so I'm not allowed to have a beer after running? Is that
you
what
said
you're
saying? You can have a beer.
Okay.
Okay. You can't have 6 of them.
Well, I wouldn't do that.
You know,
but mostly because I'm too cheap to pay for them. Probably.
But
is.
There's people that do that. You know, there's people that do that on a regular basis. I mean, you go to even health clubs that they have these kitchens.
Yeah, they do.
And you can go in and order pizza. You know, you can order whatever you want over there. And people love these little smoothies that they do. And, you know, they add all this stuff into it. And now a healthy drink becomes so much unhealthy. It's the same thing with your coffee. You know, people that go into coffee, they turn them into some of the drinks at your local coffee chain restaurants have over 1,000 calories. And your weekly sugar, not daily, weekly sugar content is in that one glass.
Yeah, you don't even want to know what mine is, especially around Halloween. I steal candy from the kids. The name of the book is Relentless. This isn't only about working out. It isn't dissing on the athletes you worked with necessarily.
No.
It's more like what you learned from them as much as anything else.
It's how to be able to train, how to train mentally like a champion. Like I said, it's how these guys compete. We're all athletes. We all are. We may not be physical athletes, but we're all mental athletes. You know, we have game plans that we have to deal with on a regular basis. They end up changing. It's how the most successful individuals become successful and they constantly conquer. And you see this on a regular basis. You know, we identify mainly with sports individuals because we get to see them all the time. But in, you know, you could look at your most successful business people. They have the same characteristics that I talk about in this book.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who excels in any profession, like I was saying before, it could be a plumber, it could be an accountant, mm-hmm. right? It could be anyone.
Yeah, you know, Puerto people always recommend you, hey, well, I need a plumber, call so-and-so, he's the best, or she's the best. You know, this teacher here, she's unbelievable, or he's unbelievable. They never leave a student behind. They make sure every student learns it. You know, they don't worry about the overtime pay. They'll stay afterwards because the money is not the factor. Their factor is I have to help this child. If it's struggling, if it's on my own time, I'm going to make sure that this child gets to where he or she can get to, whatever that potential is. It may be different than everybody else's, but I'm not going to leave anybody behind.
So most people, I don't believe, get up every day and yearn to be the best they can possibly be.
It's very difficult. It's very difficult. But again,
Are you happier if you do?
It's, you know what, for some people they are, for others it's not. You know, being this competitive and being what I call, quote unquote, a cleaner, it doesn't always mean it's a happy lifestyle. But the happiness comes from the action and the competitiveness. That's what fuels these individuals. That's their drug. You know, it's the chase. They embrace it. You know, we call it embracing the chase.
Yeah.
It's constantly looking for the next. It's looking for the next reward. It's looking for the next thing. So what makes one person happy may not necessarily make the other person happy, but that's what's unique about these different individuals. You may not like them. You may not like how they do things, but you have to respect them for what they've done and what they've accomplished.
Tim Grover, fascinating talking to you. And friends, fascinating to read. You will read this and you will go to your boss and say, I deserve a raise. And you'll be there with everyone who does that, right?
Yes. For more information, you can go to timgrover.com. You get a lot of information about the book. You get a lot of information about what we do. And we also, hey, you know what you just said? We can be with you. We even have this interactive program that now you can carry us with you on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer.
It's an app?
It's not an app. It's an actual interactive program that...
Is it like one of those workout programs?
It's not a workout program. It's more of a mental thing. It's over 50 videos that kind of, you know, if you have a certain situation or you're going into a job interview and you need, I'm a little unsure of yourself, there's a video you can pull up, say, hey, this is what you do. It kind of... Lights that fire in you and keeps it lit and teaches you, gives you that little edge that you need to go in there and do what you're supposed to do.
I may need one tomorrow. Who knows? In this business, you never know.
You never know.
You never
in
know.
Any business.
I suppose. The name of the book, again, Relentless, From Good to Great to Unstoppable. Tim Grover, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Steve. Thank you.